Strikes Back, is their effort to create progressive, head-turning music. This show is playing at Alhambra Theater, located at 4811 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information about this KBOO co-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the White Bear Polar Tundra album.
That time again, first Friday here on KBOO 90.7 FM. It takes a village. Hi, I'm Shaheed Hamid, your host and guide today. You want to focus on the turbulence of Ferguson, Missouri, as a result of the killing of Michael Brown, a black teenager, by a white police officer. Been in the news quite a bit, and we would be remiss if we did not address it as well. Ferguson, where do we go from here? The ensuing riots and police response resemble the invasion of Baghdad more than a city here in the United States of America. Is this an issue about race? Today we're going to invite your phone calls and your comments so you can take part in this discussion. Ferguson, where do we go from here? Again, we want to focus on the turbulence of Ferguson, Missouri, as a result of the killing of Michael Brown, a black teenager, by a white police officer. The ensuing riots and police response, as I mentioned, resemble the invasion of Baghdad more than a city here in the United States of America. Is this an issue about race or simply an issue about justice? Recently, the Pew organization said 37% of whites say this is not a race issue, while 80% of blacks said it's all about race. What's your opinion? Well, today we want to hear your comment and your views here at 90.7 FM Community Radio. Okay? Our telephone number is 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Call with your comments and your viewpoints. Welcome. Some of the things that we can and you can choose to address: can the white police officer receive a just decision? I understand that the prosecutor has been asked to step down because of his prior history with blacks in that particular town. But it turns out that the governor has to remove him. He cannot. He chooses not to remove himself. That's one issue. How much of this issue deals with simply cultural perceptions? How much of this issue are we refusing to come to grips with by both blacks and whites? Can we look at this whole situation from a rational perspective? Okay, can we look at Michael Brown's situation in a vacuum? Give us a call at 231-8187, 231-8187, so that we can talk about it. That's what KBOO is really all about. And it seems like I have a call already, so let's go to our telephones. Kabu, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Would you please let the person in the air room know that the music is louder than his words, and it'd be easier to hear his words if there was no music on?
Okay, I got you. I'm sorry about
Thanks,
that.
Bye.
Okay. Do you have any viewpoints? Okay. I hear the listener loud and clear. The music is down. The music is gone, and I hope that you can hear me. If not, I'll do my intro over. But basically, today we're talking about Ferguson. Where do we go from here? Ferguson, Missouri. Can a decision? Any decision is not going to obviously satisfy everyone. Okay, so again, the question is, where do we go from here? And if you had to comment on your perceptions or views of the whole entire situation, please do so. Now is the time to create a dialogue and have a conversation about various issues that is associated with this particular incident. You know, we've been celebrating 50 years of civil rights legislation, civil rights legislation. We've been celebrating the election of an African American president. Is racism still an issue? It's systemically. Obviously, there's some problems. So I have a call at 503-231-8187. Let's go to our telephones. Kabu, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
How are you, sir?
Am I on the air right now?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I have so many issues about the staff at Kabu, and I'm not talking about you all that sweat underneath those microphones and lights. I'm talking about the people that move paper around in there, and I'm not talking about the green and black paper.
Okay.
These people don't have any respect for anything black in Portland, I can tell. They always preempt Hard Knock Radio. They never play it in its entirety. They're always interrupting it. Mm-hmm. And there's just this energy that's there now, that wasn't there when Anita was there. And I miss her very much, and I love you guys. And keep everything up that you can do, because that's all we have. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Okay. Lanita, from what I understand... Thank you. Lanita, from what I understand, was on the air here recently. She's back in Portland. She took care of some personal items, some personal things, and you're right. That kind of energy is well needed at Kabu, particularly because Kabu is about one of the only venues in which we can air black issues in programs like Hard Knock Radio. So totally agree with you. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187 is our number. If you have some questions, comments, share some of your thoughts. If you'd like to share some of your thoughts and comments on Ferguson particularly, but not exclusively, please give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. That's what Kabu is all about. Kabu.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You got a comment for us? Or
yes, I do. Do I
just
ever.
Just called up to see me, to tell me good morning.
No,
wish me a good day.
Am I on the air now?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Am I on the air? Or?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Okay, here's the deal.
Give me the deal.
I'm becoming convinced that there's a war against young Afro-American men.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is just a symptom of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
All right. the demographic I've been hearing is that an Afro-American man between the ages of 18 and 34 are in control in some way of the prison industrial system.
Control of it?
Yeah, they're either in prison or uh-huh. they're on parole.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
we've heard that statistic many times. I agree with you that it's more incarcerated than in college.
Right.
Between those
right.
ages.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I'm with an elders reading group when we were talking about this yesterday, and we're convinced that we are a racially mixed group, and we are convinced that being a young black man is a very, very dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Our concerns are young Afro-American men are forced to take plea bargains in order for them to get into the system, all right? And once you're in the system, Shahid, your future is bleak, right?
Right.
You can forget about getting a job. You can forget about Section 8 housing.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, you can forget about voting,
mm-hmm.
right? And we are convinced that there are Afro-American neighborhoods that are occupied.
Okay,
occupied by the police,
mm-hmm.
who are now paramilitary. You can see videos of Ferguson. And the picture of that young black man staring down the barrel of an AK-47 mm-hmm. by that police just sends chills up your spine.
Let me jump in quickly here. What do you think is the problem? What do you think is the problem? I mean, it's not restricted, I think,
to young
black African Americans, to young men, although they're, you know, what's the problem between young black African Americans and the police? Because this is not just a Ferguson issue. This goes on around the country. We've seen Rodney King. We've seen
Keating Otis.
Time after time,
right.
In New York, they put a chokehold on an individual. Let me ask you: do you think something like that could happen here in Portland?
It already has.
How so?
Aaron Campbell was shot in the back with an assault rifle
mm-hmm.
by Arnold Trashour,
mm-hmm.
and he was complying.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
hands up, don't shoot, so to speak. Huh?
Yeah, yeah, and why do you need to shoot a man in the back with an assault rifle, and the police are saying it's a miscommunication? Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And to make things worse, Shahid, it's my understanding that the Campbell family made an issue of it. They were subject to being harassed by the police department,
mm-hmm.
and it's also my understanding that the only thing that made them back off was the Albina Ministries.
The Albina Ministry of Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? If the grand jury doesn't indict this police officer, what do you think the consequences will be?
The grand jury can't indict the police officers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all the police officer has to say is that he felt threatened, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that pretty much takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, with Arnold Trashour, he's back on the force.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he back on the force, Shahid, they give him back pay, and he's got back pay now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a murderer who hides behind a police badge,
mm-hmm.
all right, and he gets a murder and he gets paid for it.
Again, let's look at for a moment. Let's look at this race relations on a broader scale. You say it's black, young black African Americans, but I beg to differ that it's not simply young black African Americans. It's African Americans, period.
Oh yeah.
When you look at this systemically, education in terms of faulty education or lack of proper education and development of skills. Jobs, housing. You look at Northeast community right now, where gentrification has moved a large portion of the African American community out to Gresham and areas in the Southeast. Obviously, this didn't just happen overnight.
Of course not. No, there's been a war on Afro Americans forever. We'll look at the. Look at,
why though? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it's the
system. I just
want
to see if you know.
Because it's the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's the system. It's this capitalistic system where somebody has to be at the bottom end of the end of the food chain, so mm-hmm. to speak. And in our case, it's Afro Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
From slavery, right, to becoming 3/5 of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Slaves weren't considered people. Shaheed, slaves were how can I put it? Property.
Well, I understand. Please, yes. Okay, listen. So what's going to be the solution?
The solution is that we all have to stand in solidarity with each other. This is beyond color. It's got to be Afro-Americans. It's got to be white people. It's got to be Latinos. It's got to be Asians. It's got to be all disenfranchised people standing together as one and saying that this behavior is unacceptable.
I totally agree, sir. Thank you so much for your call.
Oh, thank you, Shay. Thank you for thank you for the program.
Sure. 503-231-8187. Gentleman has given us a lot to think about, a lot to fearlessly approaching, looking at this issue, looking at the current issue that's facing many communities around the country. And, you know, I think one of the most interesting questions was, could it happen here? And if it could, what needs to be done? What should be done? One of the things we talked about was the systemic aspect of this situation in terms of racism, systemic racism. And one of the key issues, I think, is the makeup of the Ferguson Police Department, you know, as opposed to the percentage of African Americans in that city, and the representation or lack of representation of African Americans on the police forces and police areas, even though they had the state police, Mr. Johnson, I believe, doing a lot of the speaking. And is that situation still representative right here? Is it still, does it apply here in Portland in terms of the amount of African-American officers, the amount of African-American firemen? Obviously, there's a lot of nepotism that goes on. 503-231-8187, your view. Are we out of the ballpark here, or... are we going to not look at these issues until something like that does happen here? Interesting questions. 503-231-8187 is the number. I believe I got my levels right now. So you're welcome to call and talk about this issue, because it's a defining issue, I think, for this for this year. It's not over by any means. There's still a lot of perceptions on both sides. One of the things that, as an African American, that somewhat disturbs me is the fact that we don't want to necessarily look at our behavior, okay? We don't want to necessarily look at events that led up to the shooting of Michael Brown. Now, that does not justify, whatever it is, does not justify two bullets in the head. Six shot six times, two bullets in the head. That's unconscionable, as far as I'm concerned. But at the same time, we have to be aware that if the police, we have to be citizens that obey the police until such time that we can bring them up to, you know, examine their behavior. Okay, I believe we have another call here. K-Boo, you on air?
Yeah, I'm on air.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to talk about that issue. What he's saying?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm not here. I shut off the radio then. Sorry.
Yeah, shut your radio off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am Eastern European, mm-hmm. from Czechoslovakia, and I came to America. I'm a white woman, mm-hmm. older, and I'm walking dogs, and I always talk to homeless people because in this area is very nice homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
And especially one guy, yesterday I see him, and he was beaten up very badly. And he told me, like, two black guys stopped him and asked for a cigarette, and then he said he don't have, they started beating him, and they dropped him. And I said, why you don't call police? And he said, no, I can't, I'm homeless, you know, and mm-hmm. I have a problem, I don't pay some ticket, and I will have a horrible problem. And we tried to avoid a police. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I hope so you don't hate black people, because that incident happened. I said, you know, this is an angry young man who came from a poverty, and they are desperate. And there you have a poor white people too, but the African-American is more affected. And he said, Debbie, you don't need to explain me this. That's what he said. I said, I know, we have black friends. And he said, yes, just yesterday before these two boys beat me up, we sit in a bench, and was our friend, African-American friend with us, and we talk, and came a police, and they just check him out, mm-hmm. he said. And we even told him, like, we don't do nothing, or you don't do him nothing wrong, we're just talking here. And he said, I was a little bit scared because I don't pay that ticket, and I don't want he check me out. That's why I didn't open my mouth. But my another friend, he was really angry. And then our friends, and they was just ignored them, and they just look for, and they was kind of, and they become softer a little bit because they speak up, but they still checked out a guy,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, mm-hmm. and I'm so happy. I'm so happy, like, white Americans starting to understand this, because it's getting better, trust me, because I came in the 80s here like a refugee, and I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was shocked how big racism was here. And it's getting better because white people is brainwashed with that, like, nothing wrong, they just don't want work, they lazy. And what are a time when they really it's worked with them, but when white people started to be affected with poverty more and more, and now they're reaching for
that's
a middle
true.
Class.
That's true.
Now they starting, because middle class are thinkers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they ignorant until they have it good, and until you have it good, you know, people is narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, I have it good, then other people have it good in America. Mm-hmm. If they don't have it good, then they lazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 1% have it... are in a very good situation now. The 99% of us, white and black, are struggling. And I think
yeah.
you're right that more and more white people are beginning to see how victimized they are as well
yeah.
in this society. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you. Okay.
I hope I helped you with a call. Thank you. I love your program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, you did help. Thank you. She brings up an interesting point. And as an African-American, I can identify with it wholeheartedly. When police approach us, we have a different feeling. We have a different perception when they approach us, and we don't necessarily look at dealing with the police as, well, we're citizens too. It's always we're operating from a deficit. We're operating we're fearful. The same thing doesn't happen to doesn't feel that's the same when police stop a black person for a ticket as he stops a white person for a ticket. And that's fundamental. That's fundamentally wrong in this society, in this society where we're all citizens and we're all looking for equal rights and we're all looking for to be treated fairly. 503, I believe I have time maybe for one more call. 503-231-8187 if you'd like to make a comment. 503-231-8187. I'm Shahid, and this is It Takes a Village. And one of the reasons why we chose that name for this particular program is because it really does take a village for us to pull together, as lady caller indicated, for us to pull together and unify ourselves in the most serious way, so that when issues like this and incidents like this occur, we can begin to discuss them rationally and look at it rationally and have a rational discussion about these issues. 503-231-8187 is our number. I'm going to, I did want to make an announcement on this particular program. I'm going to be taking some time off in the next coming months, and I'm sure whoever occupies this time slot will be just as attentive to some of the issues that we've talked about over the last 4 or 5 years. And I certainly want to thank all of you for your participation and your listenership. Really, really appreciate it. I have a phone call here I'd like to take. Cable, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm from East Africa, so I want to talk to Shaheen.
Yes, this is Shaheen. You have to speak louder or cut your radio down, one of the two.
Oh, okay. I was driving. But anyway, you know, Shaheen, you know me, I love Africa and America. I'm from East Africa. You know, when I see these guys, you know, I used to work for this company. We had a very good job, me and my friend. He's an African-American guy. He was driving on freeway. He was driving 40-ounce beer. I say, what's that plant? What the hell are you doing? He's like, oh, there's nothing they're going to do about it. I mean, this guy have a beautiful wife. He have 2 children. But he was just putting himself on target for this police. I mean, some of these guys, I understand the system is against you, but they are just falling for the trap.
Right.
I just don't
quickly
get
now, quickly, because we have to get off here in a minute. But I understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do that all the time. I mean, we black people too. We came from East Africa. We're struggling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these guys, you know, you got to tell the truth, you know. Some of these guys, they just fall the trap all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, they got to stop doing that.
Yeah, you're right. We have to be aware of the situations that we're in and the case that we're in. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. And we certainly again want to thank each and every one of you for calling today. And
I just don't
quickly get that. Now, quickly, this one.
Okay, well, stay tuned for the next program coming up.
They do that all the time. We black people too. We just go to South Africa. We just, you know, some of these guys, you know, don't stand. Let those wise men know stories with now. So I.
It's running now to lead you down the road. May not be easy. Don't you know? I promise I'll never ever let you down, 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 down. If you would only put your trust.
KVOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Two Rivers, One City, Tuesday, September 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Charles Jordan Community Center in Portland. The Willamette and the Columbia Rivers provide sustenance, recreation, and economic benefits to our region. Yet these rivers are burdened with the legacy of industrial pollution and threatened with the future of toxic contamination. The Two Rivers, One City event will bring a broad network of river users together to share their stake in clean water. The event will include an overview of the various environmental justice issues related to the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup and the oil by rail projects along the